In the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5-7, Jesus gives us some practical advice about how we should live our daily lives. But what he said at the end of the message is most important because he tells us where we should build our spiritual foundations. Today on After the Sunrise, Pastor Darrell talks about that spiritual foundation and asks us, on what foundation is your faith built upon? Today's message is the foundation of faith.
Good morning and welcome to After the Sunrise. My name is Pastor Darrell Cardwell from the North Salem Church of God. Our church is located at the corner of 4th and North Michigan Roads. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning to hear another message from God's Word. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In the next chapter, Jesus goes on to speak. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, for he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." These are two primary teachings found in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. He's teaching us practical things that we can live by in our everyday lives. But it's most important as to what he said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as one of the teachers of the law. You see, back in the Bible times when Jesus was on the earth in his earthly ministry, there were these people, the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, there were people who were always trying to question Jesus and to see if they could trip him up on the law. See, the Jews always followed the law, but unfortunately, the law was so intense that there was no way that you could follow the law in any manner, because you could follow part of the law, but you couldn't follow all the law, and many times it got people into trouble. What kind of authority does Jesus really have? Why is he able to challenge us with such a strong conviction? Well, I have a few scriptures here that will tell you why Jesus has the authority. At Jesus' transfiguration, which is found in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, we find that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and in that transfiguration, we found that Jesus was joined by two other people in the vision. Well, let's go there. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before him. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said. 'Don't be afraid.' When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And they were coming as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." First of all, we have to realize that Peter, James, and John, the inner three of the disciples, Jesus took them with him to this very important event. And in that vision, we saw Moses and Elijah. Moses, who was the great leader of Israel, led the children of Israel to the Promised Land. He performed many miracles through the power of God. And then we find Elijah, who seemed to have an exorbitant amount of power that God had given to him in his ministry, in his prophetical life. And the Peter, James, and John saw these two men in the vision standing with their Savior, Jesus Christ. But Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about this unless they saw the Son of Man, in other words, unless they saw Jesus, had been raised from the dead. But what was most important about this whole thing, not that there was a vision of Moses and Elijah, but it was what the voice said that came out of the cloud. And I can only think that the voice that came out of that cloud was from God Almighty, sitting on his powerful throne in heaven, and he spoke about his only begotten Son. He said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am pleased." And the last thing is most important. He said, "Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he has to say." Because what Jesus said was taken and given to him probably and most likely, and I believe all, through what God had told him to say. Jesus has authority. God said, "Listen to him." In Matthew chapter 28, before Jesus ascended into heaven, is after his crucifixion and his resurrection, Jesus had the disciples together again, and this is what he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What has been given to Jesus? All authority in heaven and on earth. The authority to do what? To raise people from the dead? To heal the sick? To make the blind to see? All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. We have to realize that the authority has been given to Jesus, but Paul, in his own words, talks to us in his letter to the Corinthians about that authority, the authority that Jesus really has, and there's a reason why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what we call the resurrection chapter, Paul talks about how much authority Jesus really has. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all these enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet." Now that does not say that everything has been put under him. It is clear that that does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. "When he has done all this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all." Jesus will destroy all authority, all power. He's going to destroy the last enemy, death. And then he takes the keys of the kingdom of God and hands them over to his heavenly Father. He is the authority. He is the one that we must obey and to do the things that he's told us to do. Because Jesus will destroy the last enemy, and that enemy is death. Jesus holds the keys to God's kingdom. Jesus is the authority. You see, too many times people try to build their spiritual foundations on things that really have no foundation at all. Some things that they might build their foundations upon are like alcohol or gambling or pornography. Maybe abuse of family members, spousal abuse, and child abuse. These foundations will do only one thing. Collapse. They'll crumble. They'll be destroyed. Jesus wants us to build our foundation on the spiritual things of life. I have four things that I believe that Jesus would encourage us to build our spiritual foundations upon. Number one is prayer. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and my congregation will tell you this is one of my favorite verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the author of Hebrews writes, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us through our time of need." We need to come before God's throne in prayer in confidence, knowing that God is willing to help us in our time of need. And Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 24, he says, "Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Ask, and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. We need to build a spiritual foundation upon prayer, coming before God's throne boldly, with confidence, and asking in Jesus' name that we might receive joy, and our joy will be complete. A second thing, a combination thing, of what I believe Jesus would encourage us to build our foundations upon are spiritual worship, worship and fellowship. The author of Hebrews again says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I believe that building a spiritual foundation, part of that building can be built in the house of God. We need to come together, not just to hear the preacher preach or the Sunday school teacher to teach, but for the fellowship itself. A couple of weeks ago, when it was so bitterly cold outside, we canceled church. We weren't the only church that canceled. But I'll tell you, going from that Sunday to the following Sunday, and we didn't have Wednesday night Bible study either, a whole week without seeing the whole body of Christ together was very empty feeling. I was really glad when we all came back together again. But you see, there are people who profess to be Christians who say, "Well, I can get my spiritual well-being from other things. I can get it outside of the church." Well, folks, if you're part of the body of Christ, you'll want to fellowship together. You'll want to worship God. You'll want to be in His house. And we need to all be doing that all the more as we see the day of Jesus' return approaching. And I'll tell you, folks, I believe that day will not be far off. The third thing that we need to build our spiritual foundations upon is the study of God's Word. Jesus said in John chapter 5, he says, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and to have life." God's Word leads us to Jesus. God's Word leads us to salvation. God's Word will lead us to the kingdom of God. But see, we need to seek the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to hide the Word in our heart, the psalmist says, that we might not sin against God. But we need to study the Word, and studying that Word will help us to build a spiritual foundation, a foundation that cannot be blown down. The last thing, we go back to one of the first scriptures that I shared with you in the beginning of the message today. Seeking God's kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." See, oftentimes there are people out there who are seeking other things. Not the spiritual things, not the godly things. They're seeking the worldly things, and those things, once again, will collapse and crumble around your feet. We need to be seeking God's kingdom, looking forward to the day that Jesus comes back to establish the kingdom. We need to be prepared for that day. These are just a few things that we can build our spiritual foundations upon. The things of the world will crumble at our feet, but the truth that is given to us in the Scriptures, the hope of salvation through Christ, will live forever. Each day, ladies and gentlemen, we need to examine our foundations to see if they are strong enough and able to withstand the winds of wickedness that is thrown at us from Satan and the evil world that we live in. I hope that I've given you a few things to think about this morning. I usually leave this part to Tara, but I want to encourage you, as the pastor of the North Salem Church of God, to come and worship with us. Our worship service begins at 10:30. See, the radio program will be over by 8:30. You have plenty of time to get the kids ready to go, to hop in the car, and to come up and worship with us. I hope that you do come and worship with us this morning. We at the North Salem Church of God are always looking for new friends. We'd love to meet your family. So let me say this. I will see you in a couple hours, but if I don't see you, I'll share with you again next time, at this very time, after the sunrise.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. After the Sunrise is the radio ministry of the North Salem Church of God. If you would like to contact us, send us a letter to After the Sunrise, 13263 4th Road, Plymouth, Indiana, 46563. Or email us at afterthesunrise@mchsi.com. Why not visit the North Salem website? The address is www.northsalem.homestead.com. On the website, you'll find a radio archive with four of the After the Sunrise radio programs. We would like you to come and worship with us. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. with Pastor Darrell's sermon series. We look forward to meeting you and your family. On Wednesday evening, we have a midweek Bible study. Everyone is welcome to attend. Bible study begins at 7 p.m. If you get a chance, make sure to read the Pastor's Corner each week in the Plymouth Pilot News. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week at this time, After the Sunrise.